Happy last sermon at Grace. You know, there's such contradictory readings this morning. You know, God of graciousness, all of these beautiful, the wisdom from Solomon. And then we have this beautiful parable, and then kaboom, right? So I'd ask you just to look at the opening and see where it says Matthew 13, 24 to 30, comma, 36 to 43. So we have here what? Two different sections. So I'll talk about that. But first, I have to talk about my garden. I have never planted wheat, but a garden, oh, I've planted a plenty. How many of you have gardens? Yes, woo, okay. So we're all in a community here. Well, I met the woman who purchased my home a few weeks ago, and she stated that one of the things that she really loved was my garden. And I guess what she was trying to say, it's rather free-flowing. My garden has got small little fences where the deer can, you know, they're all over the place. Yeah, it's Port Townsend, right? And so she said all the other gardens have these high fences, but she was attracted to all of the stuff that was in my garden, and I had to laugh. Yeah, anytime I see a plant that I love, I will plop it in my garden. If there's even a wee little space, another plant goes in. And this is how it operates. If I think that a weed is pretty, or that I can feed some critter with it, well, it can stay. And my plants can get very friendly. I mean, there's no personal territory. It's shared space. It's a commune, folks. I have a commune, okay? So here's my philosophy. Anything that falls to the ground is for anyone who wants it. I have two pear trees, and I know the raccoons are onto me because they go up there and they throw throw the pears down or whatever the food is. It is common territory, and that's true for the deer and the rabbits. Well, sure, you get the picture. But the possum is my favorite. He has lunch every day, and then he stays to play, hangs on branches, moves back and forth, and then he comes over to visit. You know, he's a nocturnal, and I figure he has an alarm clock when he knows when it's time for lunch. It's a community gathering, my garden. Now, here's the thing. I think we humans can begin to say, well, this is a good plant, and that's a bad plant. This is a weed. When I lived on Orcas Island, there were some plants that were island violations. You know, if they were invasive or if they did not, if they weren't directly from the island, well, you know, you could actually pay a fine. People would come around and see how many foes you had in their garden. I'm not going to tell you about how much I paid, but you know, you were supposed to pull them up. But there are good weeds. My grandmother made nettle tea. And dandelions, my canary loved them. Chickweed, creeping Charlie, what other? We have so many of these really nutritious things that are weeds. And I think we're also given things. In my garden, I have two Douglas firs and a Madrona tree, and a small sprig that turned right in the middle of my strawberry patch that became a Sitka spruce. Second largest tree in the world, is it something like that? Where is it where we begin to say, I am not comfortable with this whole sense of being, living here? And here is my question to myself. I love it. I love my garden. I love everyone that's in it. And what if a malignant force came and planted poisonous seeds in my garden? Would I be sitting there, maybe at night, waiting for the criminal with a fire ablazing? Jesus talks about a farmer who has sown his field with wheat, and while he slept, an enemy sowed tare or weeds among the wheat. And in the Near East, the wheat and the tares are very hard to tell apart because they really look alike when they are young plants, and then they bind together at the roots. So if a farmer pulls up the weeds, he'll uproot the weed. There's no food, right, if you pull them up. So Jesus is saying, don't disturb them. Let them grow together until the harvest. Let them take their time. Let them grow up, mature. Don't worry about them. Live and let live. There's a parable. Okay. So how do we get around to this rather startling ending of the parable? Matthew's community, may have added the ending, this separation. Matthew is writing an allegory that speaks of the real Christians shining like the sun and sinners going into the ovens. And if I look at our contemporary society, we're kind of like that, right? Justice for enemies, grace for ourselves. We shine, they burn. We're kind of in that place right now. But there's more to the story than that. Did you know that the tare can be poisonous? There's two kinds of them, actually, and one is very noxious, and it is an invasive plant. And the other one is actually nutritious. So how do you tell? So one of the varieties is called Darnel, and it's referred to in our scripture reading. You might separate it and throw it into the fire. You might. And to make things more complicated, how are we to decide if it's the nutritious one or not? In the biblical parable of the sower, Jesus leaves the parable open. It's open. It's kind of like a Zen moment where we enter into it. Jesus normally doesn't tell us what to do. It gives us the guidelines, and we as a mature community come together and say, how do we work this out? I had a wonderful scripture teacher named Minka Sprague. She was a spunky New York Episcopal deacon. And whenever she taught a new book of the Bible, she would dress accordingly. For example, when she taught Luke, she wore a long, beautiful, swishy Hawaiian skirt and was covered with leis. And that's how she would teach us about Luke. Why? Luke is healer, you know? He's bringing us joy. Well, let's talk about Matthew and where this final ending might come from. Matthew is concerned about authority and releasing the country from a king who was ruthless, we might say poisonous, in his relationship to his people. There were no lays hanging around in Matthew's gospel. Matthew's Jesus is challenging the values of the oppressive Roman Empire and the corrupt leaders that were in Judea. So Jesus is a leader of this nonviolent resistance group. Matthew, therefore, has Jesus as the king of the Jews. It's about rightful ethical authority, authority that's a servant kingdom. And if a poisonous weed got into the kingdom, I think Matthew would say, we take that tare out if it hurts the people and the community. So, any idea of what Minka wore to teach us about Matthew? Any guesses?
Crown.
A what?
Crown.
A crown. Oh, a big crown, yeah. Okay.
Golden rose.
Oh, golden rose. I need one of those. Yeah. Oh, okay. Anyway. Well, you got really good ideas. Minka came out, and she never wore this, full black clerical garb with a great big collar. And she stood so erect, which she never did. And she taught us about Matthew. What was she saying? She was saying, I'm going to teach with authority today. I'm taking on Matthew's cloak. And she did it with aplomb. So we have, I think, two voices in the gospel this morning. Jesus saying we can all live together. And then we have the allegory where Matthew comes in. Does this mean that Matthew is misinterpreting Jesus? No, I don't think so. He's interpreting the gospel in a certain political and social situation. His community is coming together. What do we do? Now, I'd ask you, how many in this room have not wished to throw a few weeds into the fire? Right. Okay. But here's Matthew. He's saying, if we do, it has to be for the betterment of the community, for the values that Jesus lived for inclusion, and God's love as the banner under which we march. God's love. Jesus' story deals with a great deal of ambiguity. Good and evil are to live together in his parable. And that doesn't mean that we can't do anything. We can fix lives and we can fix relationships. And all of us in this room have done that at some time or another. But we've also hit a wall probably sometime when we know we can't fix it. We just can't fix it. We've done everything we can, and that is when we put this moment into God's hand. And some of the weeds with time can be turned into good. We know that. We know that. And can't the weeds be the structures that holds the weed up? That weed's going to feed us, isn't it? Yes, absolutely, yes. And what if the weed is poisonous? That's this question. This is what this is dealing with, back and forth, right? The allegory deals with something akin to despair. Where is our own despair over evil? The loss of lives and senseless killings? A false vision of Jesus that can be seen as judgmental and exclusionary? A country that seems to be ripping out its own soul? Or the dark space that each of us owns at some part in our weakness? Yet, this is how this gospel works, yet to despair over the weeds, the evil, is to reject the teaching of Jesus. The crop will grow. The harvest will be gathered in. And truth will out itself in God's time. We humans need to advance beyond a single vision, I think, of good or evil. Things can change and appear to be more than they seem at first glance. And if weeds are immediately rooted out, boy, can we make grave errors of judgment. Any parent who's in this room, any teacher who's in this room knows this fact, don't we? We wait. And that's what is said in Paul. You know, we wait in hope for things we have not seen. Jesus says, we don't know what the weed and the wheat will be until the harvest. Only God can do the judging, not you, not me. And this morning's parable, thanks be to God, allows for clutter, clutter and surprise. We can't always predict the ending. I invite you to think about some of the weeds in your life that may have challenged every bit of your sanity. Which would you nurture? Now that you're at a different point, are you glad you're nurtured? And which, boy, do you wish you had pulled out? Or if you pulled it out, you know you did it with grace. I invite you in your own reflections this week to play with this parable. It's a fun parable. You can enter into the person of the sower or the seed or the sun, the soil. can be a bird, a thorn, a rock. We can be the weed hugging on so tightly to the sturdy stalk of wheat. Or what about the wheat? We can be the wheat. And what do we feel about that hugging weed? Is it a nuisance or a companion? And how does it feel to be the harvest or the fire? Or here's the one, how does it feel to be the hand that puts the noxious weeds to the blaze? The final truth is that the wheat and the weeds are in us, not just around us. We are the wheat, we are the weeds, we know it. We cannot rip out one or the other without ripping our own hearts out. In our human state, there is no total perfection. Yet, Paul says, we hope for what we do not see and we wait in patience. Ooh, patience, really, Paul? Yes, he says patience. Weeds exist. Jesus tells us how to live with them, and Matthew tells us how to interpret the stories in a time and a place. And my final words with you is a verse from a poem that I love, Gerard Manley Hopkins, you, in Bersnay. What would the world be once bereft of wet and wildness? Oh, let them be left, let them be left. Oh, let them be left, wildness and wet. Long live the weeds and the wilderness yet. Long live the weeds and wilderness yet. Amen.